Chapter 28. And he had done nothing, he had failed to accomplish that which he so eagerly sought for. Poor, unfortunate creature! He had not the eyes of Anargus, or he might have seen his Juno and Alfonso, assisted by his friend Sigma, make their escape from the window, and, with the rapidity of a racehorse, hurry through the blast of the storm to the residence of her father, without being recognized. He did not tarry long, but assured Ambulinia the endless chain of their existence was more closely connected than ever, since he had seen the virtuous, innocent, imploring, and the constant Amelia murdered by the jealous-hearted Farcillo, the accursed of the land. The following is the tragical scene, which is only introduced to show the subject matter that enabled Alfonso to come to such a determinate resolution, that nothing of the kind should ever dispossess him of his true character, should he be so fortunate as to succeed in his present undertaking. Amelia was the wife of Farcillo, and a virtuous woman. Gracia, a young lady, was her particular friend and confidant. Farcillo grew jealous of Amelia, murders her, finds out that he was deceived, and stabs himself. Amelia appears alone, talking to herself. Hail, ye solitary ruins of antiquity, ye sacred tombs and silent walks, it is your aid I invoke. It is to you, my soul, wrapped in deep mediating, pours forth its prayer. Here I wander upon the stage of mortality, since the world hath turned against me. Those whom I believed to be my friends, alas, are now my enemies, planting thorns in all my paths, poisoning all my pleasures, and turning the past to pain. What a lingering catalogue of sighs and tears lies just before me, crowding my aching bosom with the fleeting dream of humanity, which must shortly terminate. And to what purpose will all this bustle of life, these agitations and emotions of the heart have conduced, if it leave behind it nothing of utility, if it leave no traces of improvement? Can it be that I am deceived in my conclusions? No, I see that I have nothing to hope for, but everything for fear, which tends to drive me from the walks of time. Oh! In this dead night, if loud winds arise, to lash the surge and bluster in the skies, may the west its furious rage display, toss me with storms, in the watery way. Enter Gracia. Geo, Amelia, is it you, the object of grief, the daughter of opulence, of wisdom and philosophy, that thus complaineth? It cannot be you are the child of misfortune, speaking of the monuments of former ages, which were allotted not for the reflection of the distressed, but for the fearless and bold. Not the child of poverty, Gracia, or the heir of glory and peace, but of fate. Remember, I have wealth more than wit can number, I have had power more than kings could encompass. Yet the world seems a desert, all nature appears an afflictive spectacle of warring passions. This blind fatality, that capriciously sports with the rules and lives of mortals, tells me that the mountains will never again send forth the water of their springs to my thirst. Oh, that I might be freed, and set at liberty from wretchedness! But I fear this will never be. Gy, Amelia, this untimely grief? What has caused the sorrows, that bespeak better and happier days, to those lavish out such heaps of misery? You are aware, that your instructive lessons embellish the mind with holy truths, by wedding its attention to none, but great and noble affections. This, of course, is some consolation. I will ever love my own species with feelings of a fond recollection, and while I am studying to advance the universal philanthropy, and the spotless name of my own sex, I will try to build my own upon the pleasing belief that I have accelerated the advancement of one who whispers of departed confidence. And I, like some poor peasant fated to reside, remote from friends, in a forest wide. Oh, see what woman's woes and human wants require, since that great day hath spread the seed of sinful fire. Gee, look up, thou poor disconsolate, you speak of quitting earthly enjoyments. Unfold thy bosom to a friend, who would be willing to sacrifice every enjoyment for the restoration of the dignity and gentleness of mind which used to grace your walks, and which is so natural to yourself. Not only that, but your paths were strewed with flowers of every hue, and of every order. With verdant green the mountains glow, for thee, the lilies grow. Far stretched beneath the tented hills, a fairer flower the valley fills. Ayo, would to heaven I could give you a short narrative of my former prospects for happiness, since you have acknowledged to be an unchangeable confidant the richest of all other blessings. Oh, ye names forever glorious, ye celebrated scenes, ye renowned spot of my hymeneal moments, how replete is your chart with sublime reflections! How many profound vows, decorated with immaculate deeds, are written upon the surface of that precious spot of earth, where I yielded up my life of celibacy, bade youth with all its beauties a final adieu, took a last farewell of the laurels that had accompanied me up the hill of my juvenile career. It was then I began to descend toward the valley of disappointment and sorrow. It was then I cast my little bark upon a mysterious ocean of wedlock, with him who then smiled and caressed me, but, alas, now frowns with bitterness, and has grown jealous and cold toward me, because the ring he gave me is misplaced or lost. Oh, bear me, ye flowers of memory, softly through the eventful history of past times, and ye places that have witnessed the progression of man in the circle of so many societies, and, of, aid my recollection, while I endeavor to trace the vicissitudes of a life devoted, in endeavoring to comfort him, that I claim as the object of my wishes. Ah, ye mysterious men, of all the world, how few act just to heaven, and to your promise true. But he who guides the stars with a watchful eye, the deeds of men lay open without disguise. Oh, this alone will avenge the wrongs I bear, for all the oppressed are his peculiar care.
F makes a slight noise.
A. Who is there, Farcillo? G. Then I must gone. Heaven protect you. Oh, Amelia, farewell, be of good cheer. May you stand like Olympus's towers, against earth and all jealous powers. May you, with loud shouts ascend on high, swift as an eagle in the upper sky. A. Why so cold and distant tonight, Farcillo? Come, let us each other greet, and forget all the past, and give security for the future. F. Security. Talk to me about giving security for the future, what an insulting requisition. Have you said your prayers tonight, Madam Amelia? A. Farcillo, we sometimes forget our duty, particularly when we expect to be caressed by others. F. If you bethink yourself of any crime, or of any fault, that is yet concealed from the courts of heaven and the thrones of grace, I bid you ask, and solicit forgiveness for it now. Ayo, be kind, Farcillo, don't treat me so. What do you mean by all this? F. Be kind, you say. You, madam, have forgot that kindness you owe to me, and bestowed it upon another. You shall suffer for your conduct, when you make your peace with your God. I would not slay thy unprotected spirit. I call to heaven, to be my guard and my watch. I would not kill thy soul, in which all once seemed just, right, and perfect. But I must be brief, woman. Eh, what, talk you of killing? Oh, Farcillo, Farcillo, what is the matter? I do, without doubt, mark what I say, Amelia. A then, O God, O heaven, and angels, be propitious, and have mercy upon me. F. Amen to that, madam, with all my heart, and with all my soul. A. Farcillo, listen to me one moment, I hope you will not kill me. F. Kill you, I, that I will, attest it, ye fair host of light, record it, ye dark imps of hell. Ayo, I fear you, you are fatal when darkness covers your brow, yet I know not why I should fear, since I never wronged you in all my life. I stand, sir, guiltless before you. F. You pretend to say you are guiltless. Think of thy sins, Amelia. Think, oh, think, hidden woman. A. Wherein have I not been true to you? That death is unkind, cruel, and unnatural, that kills for living. F peace, and be still, while I unfold to thee. A I will, Pharsilo, and while I am thus silent, tell me the cause of such cruel coldness in an hour like this. F that ring, oh, that ring I so loved, and gave thee as the ring of my heart, the allegiance you took to be faithful, when it was presented, the kisses and smiles with which you honored it. You became tired of the donor, despised it as a plague, and finally gave it to Malos, the hidden, the vile traitor. A. No, upon my word and honor, I never did. I appeal to the Most High, to bear me out in this matter. Send for Malos, and ask him. F. Send for Malos, I. Malos you wish to see, I thought so. I knew you could not keep his name concealed. Amelia, sweet Amelia, take heed of perjury, you are on the stage of death, to suffer for your sins. A what, not to die I hope, my Pharsilo, my ever-beloved. F yes, madam, to die a traitor's death. Shortly your spirit shall take its exit, therefore confess freely thy sins, for to deny tends, only to make me groan under the bitter cup thou hast made for me. Thou art to die with the name of traitor on thy brow. A then, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Give me courage, give me grace and fortitude to stand this hour of trial. F. Amen, I say, with all my heart. A. And, O, Pharsilo, will you have mercy too? I never intentionally offended you in all my life, never loved Malos, never gave him cause to think so, as the High Court of Justice will acquit me before its tribunal. F. O, false, perjured woman, thou didst chill my blood, and makest me a demon like thyself. I saw the ring. A. He found it, then, or got it clandestinely. Send for him, and let him confess the truth. Let his confession be sifted. F. And you still wish to see him? I tell you, madam, he hath already confessed, and thou knowest the darkness of thy heart. A what, my deceived Pharsilo, that I gave him the ring, in which all my affections were concentrated? Oh, surely not. F.I., he did. Ask thy conscience, and it will speak with a voice of thunder to thy soul. A. He will not say so, he dare not, he cannot. F. No, he will not say so now, because his mouth, I trust, is hushed in death, and his body stretched to the four winds of heaven, to be torn to pieces by carnivorous birds. A what, he is dead, and gone to the world of spirits with that declaration in his mouth? Oh, unhappy man! Oh, insupportable hour! F yes, and had all his sighs and looks and tears been lives, my great revenge could have slain them all, without the least condemnation. Alas! He is ushered into eternity without testing the matter for which I am abused, and sentenced and condemned to die. F cursed, infernal woman! Weepest thou for him to my face? He that hath robbed me of my peace, my energy, the whole love of my life? Could I call the fabled Hydra, I would have him live and perish, survive and die, until the sun itself would grow dim with age. I would make him have the thirst of a Tantalus, and roll the wheel of an Ixion, until the stars of heaven should quit their brilliant stations. Ao, invincible God, save me! Oh, unsupportable moment! Oh, heavy hour! Banish me, Pharsilo, send me where no eye can ever see me, where no sound shall ever grate my ear. But, oh, slay me not, Pharsilo. Vent thy rage and thy spite upon this emaciated frame of mine, only spare my life. F your petitions avail nothing, cruel Amelia. Ao, Pharsilo, perpetrate the dark deed tomorrow. Let me live till then, for my past kindness to you, and it may be some kind angel will show to you, that I am not only the object of innocence, but one who never loved another, but your noble self. F. Amelia, the decree has gone forth, it is to be done, and that quickly. Thou art to die, madam. A. But half an hour allow me, to see my father and my only child, to tell her the treachery and vanity of this world. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.